T.C. Tompkins. Don't miss Music and Conversations every Sunday at 3 on Amazing 102.5. And the commercial. I like that. Right before the show come on. Hi, this is T.C. Tompkins with another episode of Music and Conversations, and we'd like to do our little disclaimer here. Want to let you know that the views stated on this show are that of my guests and myself and not that of the management of the owners of the station. We are really excited this week. We have Houston's own Colleen Caruso in here this morning.
Hello, hello.
How are you? This evening. So you got me mixing my times up. Okay. So how are you today? How was the show last night?
I'm great. The show was amazing. The energy was great. Great performance. I brought Paul Wall out on stage. That was awesome. Had some good dance moments, some good vocal moments. So
yeah, I had a chance to see some of the videos. So okay. You know, I had my spies in the audience.
Okay, good.
Okay. So I had to keep up with what was going on with it. It was not disappointing, my reviews that I got. So you did excellent.
Thank you.
You know, I mean, you know what? And I have to tell my audience that I am involved with your project.
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, is this a disclaimer or something of that nature? Mm-hmm. I am involved, so I'm a little prejudiced.
Okay.
Okay, about your talent and your abilities and things of that nature. I mean, I became aware of your talent through Emilian and through your mother and father. And I'm a sucker for y'all chicken. I'm telling you. As a matter of fact, I confessed to Cheryl the last time we met that I had never tried it before.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and I, you know, one of my first markets that I ever worked in the music business was Houston, Texas.
Who you been hanging with?
I don't know. You know, and I used to come down here for years. I mean, for years. I never knew nothing. I mean, I used to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, but I'm not a big fried food eater, never have been. But
well, that's not really fried food. It's heavenly, so it's an exception.
Oh, it is an exception. I have to, matter of fact, every 2 weeks, so I have to have some Fritches now, you know. So I am really excited about what's happening with your music.
Thank you.
You got a record in the top 20s.
Yes.
And we're going to make it stay there.
Yes.
Okay, and go
and
higher.
And climb higher.
And there you go. Okay, and you're on your way on a tour.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I am. I leave today, actually.
Okay, so you're going to be tomorrow morning. You're going to be on the air with Tyrone Davis.
Yes, in Lafayette.
In Lafayette. Mm-hmm. And that evening, you're going to be on the air with Stan Bratson, which is the program.
Jackson, Mississippi.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, and slap both of them by the head by me. Just say, TC said.
Okay.
Okay, just do that for me. But they all excited about seeing you. And I know that with your personality and the way you greet and accept people, you know, I've worked with a million artists, and half of them I couldn't stand.
Oh.
I'm just being truthful with you, you know. I mean, you don't have to lack what pays the bills, you know.
Okay.
And what I do pay the bills, you know, for my kids and grandson and all that. And I have not, you know, your mother can tell you I'm very opinionated. And well, you know that.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you know that, yeah. So, and I will definitely let you know what side the butter's bread on. I am very happy I've gotten involved with you. You know, I know that you're going to have an excellent career.
Thank you.
We're going to use this as a springboard, okay, to get you exactly what you deserve. Not what you want, but what you deserve.
Amen.
Okay. You know, it's funny, and I try to tell a lot of artists this, is that the only way, in this industry, to bring attention to your talent is to have a national platform, is to have something that you can refer to as, you know, that can give you an excuse to get in everybody's face. Now, you got a top 20 on record, you got an excuse to get in everybody's face.
Right.
Okay. And what I want to happen most of all with this is that you introduce yourself to radio more and more, because I did find out, I was kind of surprised.
Oh.
I was kind of surprised that people didn't know who you were. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, mm-hmm. You know. Terry knew who you were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when I started worrying Terry, she knew who you were. But I mean, not another program director in the country knew your name. you know. And it's a memorable name, and you have a very unique talent and voice.
Thank you.
So you wouldn't get you confused with hearing someone else. So, but I just think that is a problem that we're going to overcome. Is that it's like I try to tell everybody, you know, you want to be big with the public, but before you can be big with the public, you've got to be big within the industry. People in the industry have to recognize who you are, know your music, know your sound. And that's basically where we are now, with introducing you to the industry.
Absolutely.
Know. Yeah. So tell everybody about yourself. I know you're from here, so everybody should really
born
know.
And raised.
Yeah. So you probably, I know everybody know more about you than they do me. I'm a new kid in town, you know. But how long has it been since you've been here? You lived here?
I've been gone for 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
But I get back home a lot.
Uh-huh.
I do.
Okay.
I got to have my Frenchies when I come home.
I got to
see my family, uh-huh. You know. Yeah, it's nothing like Houston.
Do you work with any of the local musicians around here?
I do. Paul Wall, like I said, is uh-huh. one of my favorite Houston rappers. I used to braid his hair when I was in high school.
Okay.
Happy Perez, who produced my single Truth Is, mm-hmm. is also Houston native.
Right.
So whenever I come here, I try to link up with him. Next week, I'm excited. I'm going to be working with Dallas Blocker. He's somebody that I used to work with a while back. He wrote a wonderful song for me, so I'm really excited to go in and work with him.
Okay.
Next week as well.
Okay. Now, you're going to be working with him in Los Angeles?
Here in Houston.
In Houston. So yeah. You're going to be back in town?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Week.
I can work you some more.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I can work you some more. Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. Now, I am impressed with you, not only with your singing ability, but with your writing ability. Because I've had a chance to go back and listen to your catalog or whatever, some of the other tracks that you've written and produced. Because I know you were doing an interview at KMG, at Magic,
mm-hmm.
and the guy was astounded that you wrote the whole song. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Well, who's the writers? And, you know, like, yeah. I said, well, no, I wrote it, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all of your materials like that. You have another track that I'm really kind of in love with.
Okay. Which one?
Remember the one I wanted you to clean up for radio?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to get that clean.
Okay.
We're going to, and we're going
to. It's only like two little curse words.
Yeah, it's only a couple little words in there. Yeah, to where we can play that on radio.
Yeah.
Let's hit the audience with your current single right now. I mean, I can't play it enough, so
thank
I need
you.
To be getting that. Okay, as my engineer fads it. Okay,
truth is.
I thought we were going to have there we go. Okay, should have had that one cued, baby.
You said you love me. Said you need me. Where are you, baby? What's happening to me? I've been waiting out for you. Can't seem to get no time from you. I think you think I can't handle the truth, but all this here it just ain't up to you. 'Cause the truth is. Trying to say it, you're the one I wanted, so you better jump on it. I've been waiting around for you, can't seem to get no time from you. I think you think I can't handle the truth, but all this here it just ain't up to you. 'Cause the truth is. I got hitters, yeah, I got hitters. More hitters than you. truth is, I got hitters. Yeah, I got hitters. More hitters than you got. Yeah, the truth is, I got hitters. Yeah, I got hitters. More hitters than you got. Don't get it twisted. Yeah, I like you. Might even love you, but I can easily walk away from you.
This is T.C. Tompkins, and you're listening to Music and Conversations on Amazing 102.5. Okay, guys, that was Colleen Caruso with Truth Is. Hit record, another Houston artist goes, bye-yow. Okay, Colleen, come on now. You got to tell my audience, you know, I'm matter of fact probably introducing myself to you more than you introducing yourself to the audience, but okay. Just for my sake.
Okay.
You know, so how long have you been writing and producing music?
I've been writing for a long time. Writing is kind of like therapy for me. Mm-hmm. You know, when I moved, I was cleaning stuff out and I found this little book. And I was writing songs when I was like 9 and 10. They were really corny.
Okay.
But it's therapy for me to write, you know. So it's just something I've always loved to do. Music is always something I've loved to do. My parents put me in dance at a very young age, 3 years old. I started ballet and kind of transitioned into more like hip-hop classes. And I just really fell in love with performing and, you know, just kind of living through music and dance and writing.
So are you professionally trained as a singer? Or are you just a natural at your vocal skills, or have you been
vocally trained? Well, I was born with the skills. I get
Shut
it from my
now.
Mama.
Okay.
But I've been taking vocal lessons since I was 12 years old, and I continue to take them to this day.
Yeah. I know Beyonce, really, as far as I was concerned, couldn't really sing until she started taking vocal lessons. I know people in Houston go, ooh, yeah.
I ain't commenting on that because she my favorite.
Oh, I love Beyonce. You know, don't listen. Don't get it twisted. But, you know, I mean, I'm critical of every artist, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, artists don't usually pay me to tell you how much I love them. You mm-hmm. know, they want something else. Okay. So, so how long are you going to be on the road? What, 4 days, 5 days?
4 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are some of the other markets that you're going to be going into?
I'm going to go to Georgia, Columbus, Georgia. I'm going to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Augusta, I think so,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Augusta, yeah.
Yeah, and we're trying to make sure that you get to buy and see the PDs in Atlanta while you're there.
Yes, let's do that. I love Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we definitely need that market. Okay, so when you come back, are you going to be able to do anything?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'll be here. Off and on for a couple of weeks. Yeah.
So are you working on a full project, or do you have a full project now?
Yes, I'm working on a full project. It's an EP called Timeless.
Okay.
I'm taking my time with it. Mm-hmm. I want it to be perfect.
I remember that.
I'm still recording and just trying to put my best foot forward on it, so I'm just letting it come naturally, and I think I'll know when the time's right to put it out.
When do you feel like you'll have that project ready for commercial release?
You know, I hate to give time frames. Because then people want you to stick to it. I'm not sure. You know, I think I want to release another single definitely before I put it out.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's great to get people more aware of who you are.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it can't do nothing but broaden your demographics and broaden your appeal. So we're talking about, well, you know, it does always help, though, that you have a full project out while you.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to the full project. Okay,
me
now, has any of the material that I've listened to, is it going to be a part of the project?
Yes, so Show Me, and another song called Numb that I released a few months back.
Okay.
Both of those songs will be on the project
okay.
as well.
Okay, engineer, can you play Show Me? Oh, y'all still uploading it.
It's also produced by Happy Perez.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Co-written by Sam Hook, who's really amazing.
So are these all local Houston people?
Sam Hook is in L.A. We worked in L.A., but I met him through Happy Perez. He's really great. He wrote a lot of Trey Songz's last album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got a lot of talented people working with you.
Absolutely. So, I love to switch it up a little bit sometimes to bring in co-writers so you can get a different
feel,
perspective, sound, feel, you know.
Okay. Well, I think you're well on your way to being a big star.
Well,
I really
thank
do.
You.
You know, I kind of get a feel from once I get around people and, you know, see what their aura is, you know, aura is at that point, if they've got that kind of, you know, feel about them. Because some people just, they say you can see the aura is a bad, dark color or something, but you've got a great aura.
Thank you.
You know, I could tell from, I'm not going to even say that. That would be throwing dirt. I'm not that
what?
Kind of. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about some of the stuff we've already done.
Oh, okay.
Okay, no, it has nothing to, I got nothing but positive things to say about you. Okay? So you're going to, now you're also working on a show, right?
Yes, well, my show is put together, so I want to do a showcase definitely when I get back to L.A.,
okay,
which would be really fun because my show is done and it's together, and I'm in show mode right now.
Yeah. You have it tight.
Yeah.
Well, we've got some key people listening to your material, so hopefully by the time you get back, the phone will ring at the perfect time.
Absolutely.
You know, we can do all of that at the right time. We ready? Okay, let's hear another track from Colleen.
I've been waiting for you for some time, and if it's right, I'll give you everything you like. Oh, come spend some time on it. Show me that your mind's on it. Ain't gotta spend the time on it. So come get it. If you're ready for grinding hard for yours, your key's gonna open my door. Boy, you're invited to step inside it.
Show me you want it if you really want it.
I don't wanna fight it, I wanna like it.
With it up to you, boy.
Show me, baby, show me, baby. Cause I've been there before, I've been there before. So show me, baby. When you're ready, I'll give you everything you want, everything you ask for. Show me that your mind's on it. Ain't gotta spend the time on it. So come get it. If you're ready for grinding hard for yours, your key's gonna open my door. Boy, you're invited to step inside it.
Show me your heart if you really want it.
I don't wanna fight it, I wanna like it.
This is T.C. Tompkins, and you're listening to Music and Conversations on Amazing 102.5. That guy got a great voice for radio, man.
I don't know how I've dealt with this dude all these years.
Oh, I wanted to let everybody
know.
A lot
of prayer, a lot of love,
this is
a lot of patience.
This is with Music and Conversation. We have a new guest in the studio, Mr. Emiliano Victorio White.
Blanco
White. He just came in to visit us. He had, you know, he's another fan of Colleen, so he had some questions he wanted to ask her. You go right ahead, Mr. White.
No, it's not just that. The fact of the matter is, you know, when I first, it's interesting how this all began. I got a call from, you know, none other than Tina Knowles. I was at the movie, and she said, hey, I need some help with this artist. I said, okay, who? And then, and lo and behold, it turns out to be Colleen Crusoe. I said, okay. She said, can I get it played on another station, which I used to work in? I said, I don't know about that. Oh, Lord, I don't know. I said, so let me hear it. And I said, okay, let's play it. And I said, ooh, that's good. And come to find out, she's a phenomenal talent because she can sing.
Absolutely.
She can sing, she looks good, and she can perform, and that's rare with artists. Well, and then she can dance.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, what makes her really more appealing, I think, of all of it, is that when you produce your own song, when you write your own material, you're there. You're already there before you perform it because it's a part of you.
Right.
So the lyrics and the motions and the sounds and all of that are a part of your being. So it's just a natural for you to be able to translate that to an audience. You know, I know that from working with other artists that have created their own, you know, their own sound and their, like Sade, you know, which everybody used to think couldn't sing worth a dime.
Right, and she's been writing for so many people, I mean, forever.
Yeah, now, what other artists you written for?
Well, Kelly Rowland was actually my first placement that I got. I've been signed to Sony ATV as a writer for almost 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I've been blessed to be in some great sessions and meet a lot of great writers and producers. But yeah, Kelly Rowland co-wrote a song for her Seagram's Gin campaign that just came out.
Yeah, but you wrote more songs than that. You know.
I've written a ton of songs,
right? But
you know, they've been pitched to a lot of artists. But this was my first placement.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I heard you got a call from Sony, didn't you?
Yeah. I did.
That's right. You know, it's funny how they ignore. You know, they don't even know. They don't even know who's on the roster. Really, until something happens and somebody reminds them, isn't that girl signed to us? You know, isn't she one of our writers?
Yes.
You know? So that's great. Well, I'm hoping that we're going to get a lot more calls on you and that a lot more things happen with you.
But also, let me say this. The fact that Colleen is very genuine in her personality and her attitude and her smile. You know, you don't get that. You know, I've dealt with you with a lot of artists, you know, hundreds of artists, and, you know, a lot of them are buttholes.
That's what I was just telling her.
And that's just crazy, but you know, they come like they belong, like you owe them something, you gotta play their record. Mm-hmm. And that's making the record is half the battle.
That's true.
The hard part is getting it played and getting it to become a successful project. But you know, a lot of them think that, you know, since I made the record, you owe me. I don't owe you nothing.
No.
You know, so I mean, but you got to work for it, and you don't mind working for it, and that's a good thing.
That was one of the things that I did like about Colleen, because like you say, I've worked with a million artists, and 75% of my a-holes, you know. I mean, just being truthful. They're very seldom,
feel entitled.
Yeah, one of the few genuine people that I worked with was Michael, Sade, Luther.
Right.
Luther was a very genuine person, you know. And it's funny, and it's hard to believe, even Teddy Pendergrass. Teddy was a fool, but he was very genuine. You know?
Oh, he'll tell you straight.
Yeah, he's a very genuine person.
That's
yeah.
What I'm working on
in church. Uh-huh. Yeah, I really like that about anybody, is that, you know, just straight up no chaser. That's just the way I am. As you know, straight up no chaser. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about your career or something that you're doing? That before you hit this long road?
No, just for everybody to check me out on my website.
Be on the lookout.
Yeah, for sure. We post updates there. Follow me on social media.
Okay. What's your most social media? Is it just Colleen Caruso?
At Colleen Caruso, yes. Okay. And my Instagram is at CoCruz. I'll spell it because it's a little
please
complicated.
Please spell it. Yeah. Please spell it for people.
ColleenCruzot. And my Instagram is at CoCruz. CoCruz.
Right. You got that, Heaven? Okay, good.
Just somebody catch it. Well, we appreciate you taking out of your busy schedule to come by here.
Wait a minute. Tell people about the lyrics and truth is, what are you talking about?
You sure you are? Yeah.
Well, it's just basically saying, you know, I have options. You know, it's just telling a man that I like you. I might even love you just a little bit, but I have options. So you need to step up and be with me and handle me correctly, or mm-hmm. I'll go over here.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, women do have options, you know. Men
y'all
get
forget
twisted.
Sometimes.
We get it twisted. Yes. So, all right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
Right. Okay. That's women power, huh? Women empowerment.
I got to speak for the ladies. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you definitely making a strong statement and a strong impact at radio.
Thank you.
I got a funny feeling you're going to continue to do that. You know, we're going to broaden what you're doing and try to bring this thing home.
All right.
Okay. But why don't we hit one of the new tracks that I brought in today? What do you guys feel like hearing? What do you want to hear, Heaven?
Kanye.
Hmm? Kanye. Kanye West. Hit Kanye.
King Cruzo, the original Frenchies at 3919 Scott Street recently celebrated 47 years of being in business, and we thank you for your support. We have recently expanded to 36 restaurants in the Houston area. We are proud that Frenchie's has been voted Houston's best fried chicken. It was my father, Frenchie's, tradition to give back to the community, and we have continued to do that. We have been generous supporters of many community organizations, both large and small, since 1969. At Frenchie's, we like to say it is the taste that lasts forever.
Music and Conversations is brought to you by Tompkins Marketing, world-class radio promotions, marketing, and distribution. I'm back, guys. I'm back. We have a studio full of prestigious guests. Cheryl and Colleen are leaving us. We appreciate you guys coming by.
Thank you.
Okay. We've enjoyed talking to you. I had wanted to talk about some political stuff today. I had got Emilian in here. You know, this Donald Trump BS has just got me so upset. I have some real good friends of mine that I thought were real good friends of mine. Let me tell you about something. I got a couple of friends of mine that are Caucasian, and they happen to be very wealthy. So just out of the blue, I asked them a couple of days ago. This is a true story. I just asked them. I said, man, they're voting for Trump, which I cannot believe any sane person that would vote for Trump. But, you know, to each his own. But I asked them, so you guys wouldn't happen to be a birther, you know. I just knew that that was something. I thought they were going to laugh in my face when I said that, because that was so outlandish for me to even think that. You know, they wouldn't even answer me. That's pitiful that they're going along and do not understand how much that insults black people when you say that about the first black president. It's ridiculous. I hope that our hot country heals soon. We need healing. Amen. What other new record did I have in here? Kevin Ross. Let's hit Kevin. We got new music and conversations.
You always got somewhere to go. Your life is filled with revolve. Comes to love, unless it's me that you're running from. City girls want it all, but they never can wait. Not so fast, you could lose control. I know we live in the now. Slow dance to the radio. Cause forever's a long, it's a long song away.
It's a long, it's a long song away.
Forever's a long, it's a long song away. So won't you please, please let the record play. Just let the not enough time. Why would you stress something that's out of your control? Control. Ooh. Close your eyes and dream we'll never grow. I know we live in the now, but we can set our own pace.
slow dance. Slow dance to the radio. Cause forever's alone.
This is T.C. Tompkins, and you're listening to Music and Conversations on Amazing 102.5. Guys, this is me back, live in living color. We're going to have a conversation with one of my closest friends, Susan Blonde, which was vice president of Sony's CBS during my tenure there as vice president of Epic. She was a tremendous help for in anything I had that I developed with. So long. So let's go ahead and let's speak with Susan Blonde.
Hello.
Susan.
How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
You ready for our little conversation?
I'm going to try.
Oh, you could please. I know you got plenty of conversation for me. I wanted everyone in my audience to meet Miss Susan Blonde. This is Miss Publicity as far as I'm concerned. I worked with Susan during my years with CBS Records. I consider her a very close friend. She's worked with every major artist that you can think of. She's now the president, I guess, and CEO of Blonde Inc. Is that correct, Susan?
Well, it's actually called Susan Blonde Group Inc.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Did you change the name recently, or was it?
We did change it.
Yeah, because I thought it was Blonde Inc. I'm under the impression. I'm glad you gave me the proper name for the business now.
And it's funny, now that it's called Group Inc., there's less of us that are actually doing it. I'm doing more of the actual work than I ever have.
Well,
you can imagine that.
Well,
you know.
I mean, you've got the relationships and the contacts. That's why they would want you involved.
Right.
Susan, why don't you tell my audience a little bit about your history?
Okay. I was an art student. I came to New York and worked with the Whitney Museum and a certain great program. Right after that, worked for Andy Warhol, and thinking that would be good for my painting. And Andy had Interview magazine, so I started working on Interview. It's still around today. And at Interview, though, I stopped painting working for Andy, and mm-hmm. I sold ads to the magazine, and sold ads to all the record companies, right?
Okay.
So after 2 years with Andy Warhol, and that was a very, very exciting 2 years, and I was in his movies and things like that, I went first to United Artists in publicity and worked with some great people there, and then to Epic, and that's mm-hmm. when you and I met. It was there 13 years, you know, became the first woman vice president, and then started my own company, 27 years ago.
Now, you know what? I was going back through your Facebook page and looking at some of your old pictures and stuff. I did not realize that you had a movie career before you had gotten into the music industry. So you were in public, you were working for public publicity, working with a publication, and then started doing movies, right, with Andy?
No, it's all at the same time. The Andy movies were not full-time jobs, that's for sure. But I do think I was probably the only one that always had a real job while I was doing the movies.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
First of all, we never got paid or anything like that. You know, it was fun to be an Andy Warhol star, but it wasn't exactly lucrative. It didn't exactly pay the rent, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It did make us famous. We got to go on all kind of television with Geraldo Rivera and, you know, everyone. But it didn't exactly pay.
Well, I mean, to be able to say that you work with Andy Warhol, I mean, it's paying. Trust me, you know.
Right, you said it.
Yeah, it's paying. I mean, I know. Go ahead.
Well, 1 second ago, someone just called. Like, people will do anything for, they're doing more Andy Warhol books and more Andy Warhol TV shows and more Andy, it could be, you know, I mean, people are more interested, and his things are going for $100 million now, so
right.
People have not lost interest in anything having to do with Andy.
Well, it's a resurgence of, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, we both have this background and experience working with Michael Jackson, and I tell people every day, Michael Jackson is still paying me just from being associated with some of his major projects. I just had somebody offer me $4,000 for one of my plaques with Michael.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael is something that'll bond you and I and all of us that work that, and really the whole world, because he affected everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the most, I mean, you don't like to say this because all other clients, you know, listening or watch it get a little jealous, but... he was the greatest ever, you know.
The pinnacle. He's the pinnacle,
right.
As far as artists were concerned.
Right.
Yeah, as far
right.
as... You said you started with another label before Epic, Susan?
Yeah, United Artists.
Mm-hmm.
Right after 1 year working with the Whitney Museum and then going into interview for around 2 years. Then I went to United Artists. United Artists was great. They had Tina Turner at the time, and
mm-hmm.
they had all the blaxploitation films and, you know, like Shaft and things
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I had forgotten about all those movies.
Yeah.
Yes. So that was all up under United Artists. Okay.
Yeah, United uh-huh. Artists was a good label, and that's where I first met Sharon Osbourne and Ozzy Osbourne, because their father, Don Arden, who's pretty famous, you know, crazy, I mean, interesting character,
mm-hmm.
he had Electric Light Orchestra there and a lot of the English, very cool group. So
mm-hmm.
That's where I first met them. It's funny because I had a very long history with the Osbournes.
You know? Mm. I had no idea that you had worked. And you know what? I do remember Osbourne, but I think he was with Epic or something when he bit the head off of the Dove, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was in our conference. He was with our publicity staff on the West Coast when he bit the head off the Dove.
I thought so, because it was the talk at Epic for a long time.
Even for us, that was outrageous.
Ozzy bit a head off of a bird. And was it in a meeting?
Like in our publicity meeting he did it. But,
my God.
He just freaked everyone out, you know.
Yeah, well, he got famous for that. He definitely got famous for that.
But, you know, he had Black Sabbath. He already has had a great career, and he continues
mm-hmm.
to have a great career. And then Sharon, and then we helped with the Osbournes with that show, because it was a Cribs. We got him on MTV Cribs, and they
mm-hmm.
saw he was fascinating. So then they gave him the show. I mean, not that I certainly don't have a piece of the show or anything. I wish I had of their careers.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, now, he was fascinating. I mean, he was definitely a character and still is a character, you know. Yeah, I definitely remember
fact,
that. Go ahead.
Go on. Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. In his book, the one thing he put in, even though we got him on the cover of Spin and all these major pieces, he put the time that he had dinner with Andy Warhol that I took him to.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy actually suggested that he have his chin reduced. I know this sounds silly, but so Ozzy looks better now than he did, you know, back then.
Mm-hmm.
And he listened. I guess, you know, Andy was very frank about what you should
This
is early especially for a guy having something done to their face. But anyway,
uh-huh.
he did it, and he looked better ever.
Okay, well, Andy had some kind of foresight into that. Absolutely. Oh, man. So that was your real, was Sharon and Osbourne then were your first big rock act that you were working with?
Well, at UA, Electric Light Orchestra was very big.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, okay.
And then, but at Epic, The Osbournes, well, in the heavy metal, we had, you know, as you know, with all, we had every kind of artist, right?
Yeah.
So that made it fantastic, right?
But, you know, well, I know you, I mean, you've dealt with a wide spectrum of artists from urban, hip hop, pop, you know, rock, I mean, all of that kind of stuff. So I know when I first came there and started dealing with you on that level, I mean, your contact roster was as long as my arm, you know, so I know that you had the right contacts for that kind of, who else did you work with when you were over there with Epic? Who were some of your favorite ones?
Well, no, I love Culture Club and Boy George, and he thanked me on the Grammys, and that did make me famous for a minute. But,
I remember that, uh-huh.
And he imitated me. He goes, "Thank you, Susan Blonde," in my crazy voice, right?
Yeah.
So that was, you know, that was nice. Uh-huh. Then, of course, we had the Isleys, we had Luther, we had Teddy Pendergrass.
Yeah.
We had, like, you know, all different, we had all those groups that people didn't like to write about, also like REO Speedwagon and Kansas. They were good groups, and they were enormous, but they weren't the press's favorite, right? Where Boy George and Cyndi Lauper, the press liked.
That's true.
Lot, you know?
That's true. Yeah, I liked Cyndi, and I got along real well with Boy George, them, and their posse. But do you ever see Cyndi anymore?
No, I don't see her, and she lives in the neighborhood, so I don't get to see her, but she's certainly done very, very well.
Absolutely. She's got a play on Broadway now, doesn't she?
Yeah, and she won the Tonys, and
she's
done
God.
Incredibly well. You know, I'm active in this organization called DIFA, which is the Design Industry Fighting AIDS. You know, I'm on the board of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw her last time at that. She's friends with David Rockwell, who was the executive director, even though he's a big architect, and he just won a Tony.
Okay.
For a show called She Loves Me. But anyway, so that was the last time I saw her.
Mm. Yeah, I just hung up talking to your girl, Laverne.
I love Laverne.
Yeah, we were just talking about you. This when she first went to work for you after Wynn Wilford. And I told her, I remember those days, because I was just, matter of fact, getting up to New York when Wynn was there, and they had that structure. Before, you know, we were working together directly. On a lot of the things. Matter of fact, I was just going over her about our trip to London to meet with Sade. Yeah, to convince her to let us release her project. Yeah. You know, and
that's, I mean, we had a great Sade day. It was unbelievable. And she was the only one that said no to one of the covers of Vanity Fair that Laverne and I, you know, had gotten her.
Mm-hmm.
But she was just cool and lovely, right?
Yeah.
And, I don't remember what she said. Did she agree to you at that time?
Yeah, she was a little difficult when I first met her. You know, we got to be real cool with each other, but she was just very demanding on how she wanted to be presented and how she wanted her music to be accepted, you know. So she kind of had an idea when I first met her and what direction she wanted her career to go, you know. And very few artists have that type of grip on their image and their sound and, you know, that whole thing. Like she did. So she had made her a little more difficult to work with, but I loved working with her, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, she really had everything. She had such talent and such a style. And she was unique. I mean, we work with her at the biggest time of her career. In fact, most of these artists, I think we were there at their, I don't know, their height.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, you know, Susan, I always believe that if you're not involved in the first couple of projects, if you come along after they've already been established, then you really don't have any part of the excitement of it or the building of it, of the, you know, because you were there when Michael Jackson came into his own.
Right.
Yeah, you know, when Luther came into his own, Teddy Pendergrass came into his own. Sade, because all those acts were, even though Michael was big when we first signed him, he was nowhere the artist that he was after Off the Wall and Thriller.
Oh, yeah. He never had, you know, he never sold the albums,
Right, yeah. Yeah, because
so, I mean, And we got to be very close in all the early years. I mean, by the time Thriller came along, it was a little harder to get as close, even though we certainly worked it and it was we did everything. I was really friends with Michael for a lot of years, you know, up to the
absolutely up to till it got crazy.
It got harder to get near him. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But early, we used to hang out a lot, and I introduced him to Andy and to all those, you know, we used to go to Studio 54. We had parties for him there, as we had parties for Luther at Studio 54.
I know that you were doing that 54 set back then, because I saw pictures of you and Michael at 54, matter of fact. You know, so Michael, Michael used to hang out with you at Club 54. Now, I mean, come on. I mean, how much better does it get, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But Michael was funny. Like, sometimes if you'd ask Michael to dance, he would go, "Oh, no, that's work." You know? Like, he didn't just dance. This is not a guy that just, like, casually did anything. Everything. I saw him. I'm sure you saw sometimes when he'd have a floor late in the hotel room.
Right.
Somehow he'd have a big room, and he'd have a floor, and he'd do practicing and making things perfect, you know, wherever he was on the road, you know.
Yep, yeah. I saw that when I saw him on the Victory Tour when we were down in Dallas. I went into his suite that they had for him there, and they had his floor set up for him to practice his steps on, do his whole nine yards. It was amazing what a perfectionist he was.
Right.
Yeah, and anything that he wanted to be involved with.
Right.
I didn't realize Steve Manning was telling me that during that time, and you must have been hanging out with Michael during the time that they were filming Wiz. Was that the time?
Yes, we did. I got to go. I have pictures of him in the costume with the two of us looking sweet together. I went out there. Yeah. It was out in Queens where I grew up. I mean, not exactly the same place, but I grew up in Queens. And I got to see him in makeup and all that stuff. I mean, in those years, we had so much time. We had time that we could do things together. I once went to he loved to play The Wiz, and we went to see Stephanie Mills in it together, and Michael and I were sitting with each other. But at that point already, people were asking for his autograph, right?
Right.
So I said, why don't you do what Andy Warhol does, just sign MJ, right, instead of the whole name.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I could never do that. These are my fans. I would never do that to them. I thought that was great, right?
Yeah. I think he got a little point, though, to that MJ. Once he signed it, because you could recognize the M and the J, but you wouldn't recognize anything else.
That's true.
Yeah.
And one of my gold records here, you probably might have some of the same problems. One of the big plaque here. It has his signature on it, you know, one of the Thriller ones, right?
But it faded so much.
It faded so much that it hurts, not worth anything anymore.
I shouldn't
have kept any light on that one.
Well, you know what? That's the one I got offered $4,000 for, was the one where he signed the letter, because I couldn't figure out why would anybody want something with my name on it? You know, it has Thanks TC on there, you know. But they still wanted it. I mean, it's Michael Jackson's collectibles. So those pictures that you got of you and Michael back hanging out at 54 gonna be worth a lot of money, Susan.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
Now you said a few things that are interesting. You said that the working with Michael would work. You know, with people would be. Or working with Andy, or working with Michael, forever interested. And then in my own company, you know, which was called Susan Blonde Inc.
Before the name change.
All the ushers or all the great, great people were their idol was Michael, right? So when I worked with ushers then for 10 years, right? Or even Prince. Prince was the most interested in Sly Stone, and I got to work with Sly a little bit at the beginning of my Epic time, right? He was wild. Like, everyone would fly out to see him, and he would disappear through a back door. But, yeah, we've had plenty of clients that did things like
strange
that.
Strange things, yeah. Yeah, so, but I mean, all of your artists and all of the stars that you've worked with since then, I mean, everybody, and I'm sure, brings up the fact that you've worked with Michael Jackson. That comes up, I'm sure. What are some of the acts that you worked with under Blonde Inc. before you guys did your name change?
Well, I mean, on my own, I worked with, that's another thing you said, too. I worked with Janet Jackson a lot.
Yeah, you did.
But as you said about the Michael versus the Janet, I didn't start with Janet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't there at the beginning. So Janet and I never got a real relationship. We worked there several times, but we didn't. The closeness we had that I had with Michael, I didn't have.
Well,
with
you
Janet.
Know, you know what? It's sad to say, but it's just a true fact of life. Is that after you've been in the game so long. It's difficult for them to get close with anybody. I don't know if they become a little jaded or a little cautious, probably, you know. But in the beginning, I'm sure like it is with Sade, a Luther, a Ted, they were all much easier to work with when
right.
they first came into the game.
Right.
You know, yeah, and were much more open to having friendships and relationships with people.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's one of the differences from being on your own, as you know, or being in a record company. In a record company, they usually wanted to be very friendly and very nice to us.
Mm-hmm.
They understood we could make them a bigger priority, or we'd work them harder, and they really gave us a lot of respect, I thought. When you have your own clients, you're good for exactly the minute that you are getting them the very biggest stuff. And sometimes if there's a little bleep, or like there's a few weeks that you don't get them a big something, right?
Oh, I know, yeah.
Then you might lose them,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if you signed. I mean, I did have quite a few clients for 10 years. I had EMI Koppelman for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Hard Rock Sports Club LA for 10 years. But there's clients that, you know,
even
with Toni Braxton, once People Magazine ran a picture of her, that was not the picture we sent. They used an old picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember if we got fired or whatever, but that was like, we almost got fired for that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I know now that I run my own company on the Tompkins Marketing now. It's usually
yes.
the length of the project, okay? It's
right.
like no contract or no agreement usually lasts no more than a couple of years at the max.
Right.
This is what I've. You know, what I found out to be true. And you know, because I've brought a lot of the acts that I've dealt with to you for representation. You did this kid, Jay Dash, for us. He got that
right.
that USA Today. He was I've never seen USA Today do that for any artist, matter of fact. What did
yeah.
They previewed his video in the whole nine yards.
It was pretty incredible.
Absolutely.
And as you reminded me that, you know, you were excellent at what you do, and you pushed us and pushed us. It almost made us go to the impossible, but I mean, it worked. And you always do it in a nice way. At least better than to me. Well, me, you're like the nicest person, you know.
Well,
and
yeah.
We like each other. We always did.
Yeah, yeah. We've always gotten along. But, I mean, you know, we always expected the best out of each other. And you've always given me
right.
your best. And I've always tried to do the same with you. So I guess it is that, you know, we complement each other in that. Because I know what you have to make something happen. You know, you
right.
You can't make something happen out of nothing. You know, it has to be some type of activity going on somewhere for anybody to have any interest. You know,
right.
Yeah,
right.
You know, so I mean, so I know they're keeping you real busy now. I know your company is still doing very, very well in New York City. And you're doing a lot of giving back things. Are you involved with a lot of?
Well, that's yeah. But we have one client named Scott Merkin that has been very exciting. He's an event producer and live stream pioneer, really.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Jay-Z just bought half of his company.
All right.
So
okay.
Yeah, and he's about as hot as could be. We got to work with the Pope. Not that I got to spend time with him, but we worked on the Festival of Families and the World Meeting of Families in Philadelphia. That was this past September, and that was a million people on Benjamin Franklin Parkway, and a billion people got to listen to the stream and the live broadcast. So that was, you know, incredibly exciting. Now he's going right into Made in America. And Rihanna and Coldplay, and that's, you know, September 3rd and 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it all on Tidal. I don't. I mean, that's. I
yeah,
guess
a, right on his on
a
his service.
Lady, you know,
yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, on his service, right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very. That's been very exciting, and you know that takes up a lot of time. We got him a big piece on the cover of the New York Times.
Okay.
So you know that's what people come to us for, the major stuff. But press is so much more than that too, you know. And I have a wonderful person named Joshua Plant that works with me, who's very young and knows all
social media,
everything else that I that I can grasp, but I don't have the knowledge that he
well,
does.
You know what, Susan, I do. I'm like you on that. I do what I do. My daughter handles all my social media activity. You know, does that kind of digital fingerprint for me. You know, so which you have to have nowadays,
right?
You know, and try to keep me visible in that rural, you know. So
right, you're good at it. I think I feel like I see your presence a lot. You know,
well,
and it's exciting things. So
I
she's
try,
doing good.
Yeah, I will most definitely tell her that. Matter of fact, you got to check out their radio show. You know, they got a show on. I'm gonna have to send you the link that they do.
Good.
They do. You know, they do press and public. They do gossip and things. You know, it's like a little gossip show. So it's a upscale Wendy Williams kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah.
That's
great.
Yeah.
So I'll have to shoot that to you. But look, I want everybody to know that if you're ever in need of a real publicist to take care of some major business, this is the person you all need to call. I trust Susan Blonde with anything that I would be involved with any day of the week, okay? I appreciate you taking some time with me, Susan. I know that your day is crazy, but I thank you so much. And if I'm ever in New York, which I very seldom do anymore, you know, I remember the time I used to just love that city to death, but I'm down here in Texas now, and I love it down here. So
good.
Other than the heat, you know, other than the heat. But I thank you so much for your time, Susan.
Thank you. I love you, and it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay, and I'll send you a copy of this interview when we get ready to air it, okay?
Okay.
Take
Great.
Care.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.